Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 74 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Tandy Wallingford.
It looks like what we're going to get today is not going to do anything, and we've got another week of nothing but dry and hot.
A burn ban has been issued for Rowan County.
The Arts and Eats Festival in downtown Moorhead was a big success.
A local animal organization is holding a silent auction this week.
Students in Kentucky joined a climate change protest last week.
The Martin County Sheriff's Office has been evacuated this afternoon.
In sports, Rowan County's girls' soccer team is headed to Boyd County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
30% chance of showers this evening with a low around 53 overnight. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
A burn ban is now in effect for all of Rowan County. The order came down Sunday afternoon from Judge Executive Harry Clark, citing extremely dry conditions that could lead to forest fires. Although there is a small amount of rain scheduled throughout today, Clark says it won't likely be enough to provide relief.
Watching the weather and looking at the numbers, I'm going to say we're certainly going to be in this for at least through probably the middle of next week, and hopefully we'll get some rain at that point, but I don't see any rain on the horizon that's a significant amount.
Similar restrictions have been issued in several other counties throughout the WMKY listening area. Clark says there are no exemptions on the ban.
Thousands gathered in Moorhead's downtown Saturday for the annual Arts and Eats Festival. The event raises money for local nonprofit organizations through food sales and arts and craft vendors. Mayor Laura White Brown says this is the first year that the city was able to have a booth at the festival.
And so we were able to do that this year. All of the departments participated. They had different materials they would hand out. We worked really well together as a team, alternating times throughout the day and just having a strong city presence at the festival. And I thought that was really good show of the way that the city is working together right now.
The city will close downtown again this coming Saturday for the Run Moorhead 10K event.
Two officers with the City Police Department in Moorhead were promoted this morning. Josh Eisen and Jeff Stamper are now MPD's newest sergeants. Police Chief Derek Blevins says this is the first time the promotions have been done in a formal ceremony.
Just something to add to, just show how much we appreciate the families and everything, kind of get them involved in this also. So we've got a couple shiny sergeant badges, and what we'll do, we'll have your all's wives come up and change out your badges on your uniform, and then we'll have the mayor swear you in again.
Moorhead's Police Department has about 20 officers on staff.
The U.S. Army has recognized Moorhead native Homer L. Davis for his heroism during World War II. The Office of U.S. Representative Hal Rogers said in a press release, the U.S. Army recognized Private First Class Homer Davis for his, quote, exemplary performance of duty during armored combat on March 6, 1945, while serving with Company E, 32D Armored Regiment in Cologne, Germany. Rogers' office said Davis's family was presented with the Bronze Star Medal with letter V device during a ceremony last week at the World War II Memorial on the National Mall. Three other members of his tanker crew were also awarded Bronze Stars during the ceremony, including Corporal Clarence Smoyer, a tank gunner from Pennsylvania who is now 95 years old. Davis returned home after the war and worked as an electrician at Moorhead State University until his passing in 2004.
Saving the Animals of Rowan County is hosting a silent auction September 23rd through October 4th in the lobby of Citizens Bank, located on East Main Street in Moorhead. The public is welcome to view and bid on items during regular banking hours. Star volunteer Patricia Needham says the organization has its hands full with local animals.
Help as many dogs as we possibly can. There is such a need in this area because of the strays and the animal neglect and abuse that goes on. So we, in the past, have rescued close to 1,000 dogs a year in found them homes.
All proceeds from the event go to the rescue of homeless, abused, and neglected animals in Rowan County.
An Eastern Kentucky student was inspired by his grandmother to give to those who need help. That's why Jeff Waldford is starting a food drive, which could involve all of EKU. Waldford tells WKYT he wanted to get others involved, so he spoke to Brooke Bentley, chair of the nursing program at EKU.
And the question that came to my mind is, how can I help people this season? Let's just start like a small food drive. Let's make a difference. Even if it's five cans of corn, it's five cans of corn they didn't have prior. And I asked her if I could get the support from the nursing department at EKU, and she was immediately like, yeah, let's do this.
Walford is still working out the details of the drive, but he has a meeting with the university's president to talk about taking this drive university-wide.
Students in Kentucky joined a worldwide movement Friday by gathering at the foot of the Kentucky Capitol to pressure lawmakers to act on climate change. WUKY's Josh James was there and filed this report.
About 200 students and their supporters congregated at the Capitol steps with a message for lawmakers.
Together, we will be heard. Thank you.
The event, one of hundreds being held across the U.S. and the world, had echoes of 2018's anti-gun violence March for Our Lives, with young people taking the driver's seat on an issue they say leaders are ignoring.
I mean, it's our future, so.
E.J. Eamon is a junior at Franklin County High School.
Some people in the government, they don't believe that it's happening, but it is. And as students, we have big voices and we can be heard, and I feel like our voices need to be heard about this issue, and something needs to happen.
Some of the actions the student speakers would like to see: a transition to renewable energy in the Commonwealth, more attention on climate change in classrooms across the state, the protection of biodiversity, and other measures they say are urgently needed to create a livable environment for future generations. The climate strike was one of several held across the state in solidarity with the international movement. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Pikeville-based software developer BitSource has created a new smartphone application to enhance safety at Pikeville High School. The Lend a Hand, Take a Hand app allows students to report threats or other harmful activities that impact learning at the school. Principal Jason Bowers tells Mountaintop Media about the app.
I want our school to be the best school in the state of Kentucky. And for us to be able to be the best school in the state of Kentucky, it can't have those four things that this app covers. And that is weapons in the school, drugs or alcohol in the school, bullying, and then jewels, tobacco, e-cigarettes, what have you. So without those things in our school, we have an opportunity to be the best in the state of Kentucky.
Boer says the app is also linked to the city police so they can be made aware of any situations that may require their intervention.
The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky held a forum today focused on medical marijuana's impact on public health. LEX 18 reports 17th annual Howard L. Boost Memorial Health Policy Forum will feature four speakers: a cannabis consultant, economist, pain specialist, and Foundation for Healthy CEO. The forum at the Griffin Gate Marriott in Lexington took a closer look at how Kentucky may regulate who can grow and sell marijuana products, as well as how the state would oversee testing and quality control. Other topics for discussion included the types of public education that would be needed should marijuana be legalized in the Commonwealth for medicinal purposes. The forum will also take a broader look at what it means to label marijuana as medicine, the gaps in research, and how the drug has changed since the 1960s.
A hazmat team from Pikeville headed to the Martin County Sheriff's Office this afternoon. The sheriff tells WYMT that a chemical odor in the building was so strong people felt nauseous. A few employees said it was burning their senses and making them lightheaded. The smell was so strong it even caused one woman's nose to bleed. The woman apparently passed out at least once as she was taken to the hospital. The office is closed until further notice, and everyone is out of the building for safety reasons. Employees in the courthouse said they noticed a smell as well, so the Martin County Government Center building is shut down too. The smell seems to be coming from the vents and was first noticed on Friday.
Today is the first day of autumn, and flu season has already started. The Lexington Fayette County Health Department said this morning the first case of the seasonal viral illness had been confirmed by lab results. Spokesman Kevin Hall said the news should spur people to get a flu shot if they haven't already.
This is not an early start. This is a pretty typical start, and the flu is sadly going year-round almost now. We have cases extend into May oftentimes, and you hear some trickling in June and July. Right now, when the temperatures have been near 90 degrees, you don't really think that, oh, this is flu season, but it absolutely is flu season.
Officials say Lexington recorded 506 confirmed cases and 5 deaths from the flu last season.
The U.S. Department of Labor announced that an Eastern Kentucky program will receive millions of support laid off coal miners in the area. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
National Dislocated Worker Grant funding of more than $3.7 million will go to the Eastern Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program, Incorporated. The money will go towards employment and training of dislocated workers impacted by layoffs from the coal industry. This includes miners affected by the Black Jewel bankruptcy. According to WYMT, EKCEP services nearly 500,000 people in 23 Eastern Kentucky counties. Black Jewel's bankruptcy affected more than 1,000 coal workers in central Appalachia. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
One man is dead after a shooting in Clay County over the weekend. The Clay County Sheriff's Office charged 29-year-old Ricky Wagers with murder. According to WKYT, Wagers' arrest citation says he shot Eddie Spurlock several times with a shotgun at a home on South Highway 421 Sunday night. Investigators are still figuring out what led to the shooting. Spurlock's body was sent to Frankfort for an autopsy.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, tonight a 30% chance of showers before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing with a low around 53. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 76. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 52. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 82. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 59. Thursday, a 20% chance of showers before noon, partly sunny with a high near 79. Current temperatures in Ashland is 75, Lexington 73, Winchester 78, Mount Sterling 77, Grayson 74, Inez 78, and Moorhead 74.
On our feature segment today, our island universe and why we can thank our lucky stars for those iconic red barns.
Imagine a rural landscape in your mind. What do you see? I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University's Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. Here in eastern Kentucky, one of our most iconic images we have is that of an old farmhouse with an adjacent red barn. Indeed, red barns are as American as apple pie. But why are barns painted red, and what is its connection to the stars? In the past, farmers did not have the enormous choice of paint colors and sealers that we do today. They needed a solution that was cheap and readily available. So farmers would seal their barns with linseed oil, which is an orange-colored oil derived from the seeds of the flax plant. To this oil, they would add ingredients like milk and lime, but also ferrous oxide, otherwise known as rust. Rust was plentiful on farms, and because it killed fungi and mosses that might grow in barns, it was very effective as a sealant. The resulting mixture would turn red in color. But what's the connection of red barns to stars? Rust is plentiful because of where the iron in it comes from. The centers of massive stars that explode, littering their immediate interstellar neighborhood with the stuff produced in its core. As a massive star explodes, the shockwave from the supernova may cause an otherwise dormant giant cloud of gas to collapse. As the material from this giant cloud of gas falls to the center, new stars may form. Some of the material that doesn't fall in may stick together to form planets that will orbit this new star. But this collapsing cloud is now also enriched with the material produced in previous generations of stars. Indeed, the calcium in our bones, the oxygen we breathe, the nitrogen in our air, the carbon-based life form that we are, and yes, the iron and paint that makes barns red can all be traced to massive stars that lived and died. In the mid to late 1800s, as paints began to be produced with chemical pigments, red paint was the most inexpensive to buy. As European settlers crossed over to America, they brought with them the tradition of red barns. However, the connection of the periodic table of elements with the stars remain. So the next time you drive down an old country road, see an idyllic old farmhouse with a red barn nearby, remember that the ingredients in that paint can be traced to stars that lived and died billions of years ago. Our Island Universe is produced by WMKY in cooperation with Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/star theater.
Chanel Varani is an astrophysicist and the director of Morehead State University Star Theater. It's 4:47 and 74 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Tandy Wallingford and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this gloomy Monday afternoon. Michael Green has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The Viking girls are looking for Win 10. For WMKY Sports, I'm Michael Green. The Rowland County girls soccer team travels to Boyd County tonight. The Vikings are coming off a 2-2 draw on Saturday with Boone County. Head coach Alan Evans says he's reminding his team only 2 weeks remain in regular session play.
They're just kind of in shock how fast it goes by because you have a homecoming. We have three games this week, and then what we call the distraction week of homecoming, a lot of distractions, and then you're going right into fall break and district tournament. So it'll be here before we know it, and then hopefully we'll work through it, show that progressions, and stay away from the injury bug, and come out on top.
Game time tonight in Ashland is set for 6:30 p.m. Taking a look at other girls' soccer action in the 16th region tonight, Bath heads to Mason County for a 6 p.m. matchup. Also at 6, Morgan County hosts West Carter, and Russell hosts Paintsville at 6:30 p.m. Taking a look at boys' regional soccer action tonight, West Carter travels to Morgan County. They'll face off at 8 p.m. right after the girls' game. Ashland Blazer travels to Portsmouth West across the river in Ohio for a 6:30 matchup. The Rowland County boys are off tonight. They'll travel to Fleming County on Tuesday. In 16th Region Volleyball action tonight, East Carter travels to Fairview for a 7 p.m. match, and Morgan County hosts West Carter. That game is also scheduled to begin at 7 p.m. Rowan's volleyball team is also off tonight. They'll travel to East Carter tomorrow. We'll have scores from all tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. Looking to build upon the momentum of a season-opening top three finish, Morehead State men's golf returns to the NKU Fall Classic for the fifth consecutive season. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
The season also marks a return of Morehead State competing as a team in the event, having sent four individuals to last season's tournament. The Eagles return as one of two past champions in the event, having won the inaugural NKU Fall Classic in 2015. Morehead State has also been one of the most successful teams in the event's history. The Eagles return to the course following a third-place finish at the EKU Raising Cane's Invitational. The NKU Fall Classic also features Northern Kentucky, Chicago State, DePaul, Detroit Mercy, Evansville, Green Bay, Longwood, Robert Morris, St. Francis of Pennsylvania, Thomas More, and West Virginia, individuals only, comprising the rest of the tournament field. The two-day 54-hole event tees off from Lansing Point Golf Course in Union, Kentucky. The course features a par 71 and plays at 6,724 yards. The event began this morning with teams playing a continuous 36 holes before playing the final 18 holes Tuesday. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Morehead State volleyball team is gearing up for the start of OVC play later this week. The Eagles are set to host Belmont to open conference play this Friday with Belmont, and then the team will host Tennessee State on Saturday. MSU swept the Conference Invitational this weekend, beating Marshall, Coppin State, and Southeastern Louisiana. Head coach Jamie Gordon says he expects his team to take advantage of their home court again this weekend.
Obviously, what we've been able to do in the new practice facility has helped us a lot in our training side. This week, we just transitioned our floor over to AAC, so we're now practicing in here as well as competing, and so that's sort of helped. You know, any team that has a successful season need to be able to defend their home court.
Both of this weekend's games can be seen on ESPN+. The Eagles face off with Belmont Friday at 6 p.m. and welcome Tennessee State Saturday at 2 p.m. The Kentucky Wildcats are nursing their wounds in the wake of their second straight loss. UK fell to Mississippi State 28-13 on Saturday. Coach Mark Stoops is hopeful that Smith will be good for this weekend's game at South Carolina.
I don't think it's going to matter to us going up in that meeting room today, you know, what the last 5 years were. You know, really, it's, you know, we have to have a great preparation. We got to have a great week. We got to win this game throughout the week. And, you know, we got to do a better job. I got to do a better job motivating them.
Quarterback Sawyer Smith suffered a shoulder injury and did not throw during Sunday practice. Game time on Saturday against the Gamecocks is set for 7:30 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Cincinnati Bengals are still winless on the year after a 21-17 loss on the road in Buffalo yesterday. Quarterback Andy Dalton, 20 of 36 for 249 yards, a touchdown, and a pair of interceptions. Here he is after the game.
We got to put a complete game together. You know, you can't have the performance we had in the first half and expect to win. I mean, the good thing is we've got ourselves right back into it and had an opportunity to win this one, but it's unfortunate we didn't come out on top.
Cincinnati trailed 14-0 at halftime, but came back to take a 17-14 lead with 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The defense couldn't hold the lead, however, and the Bills scored a touchdown with 1:50 left in the game to seal the win. Next up for Cincinnati is a primetime affair with Pittsburgh a week from tonight, where both teams will be looking to pick up their first win of the year. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Michael Green.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Soccer will host Belmont at 6 p.m. on Friday and Purdue Fort Wayne at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Volleyball welcomes Belmont at 6 p.m. on Friday and Tennessee State at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed little changed as weak economic data out of Europe stoked worries over the state of the global economy, and the Dow Industrials did manage a small gain of 15.19 at 26,950.26. The S&P 500 was down 0.29 at 2991.78, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 5.21 at 8112.46. Manufacturing activity in Germany fell to its lowest level since the financial crisis this month, according to IHS Markit. Germany's services sector also grew at its slowest pace in 9 months. Overall, manufacturing in the Eurozone fell to a more than six-year low, while services grew at its slowest pace in 8 months. Again, all this data according to IHS Markit. European stocks fell broadly on this data, with the German DAX dropping 1.1%, while France's CAC 40 slid 1%. On the other hand, the U.S. manufacturing sector hit a five-month high in September for activity, while the services sector grew at its fastest pace in 2 months. However, IHS did note that the manufacturing data in the U.S. still remains among the weakest readings since 2016. Also, IHS noted that prospects look gloomy, with inflows of new business down to the lowest since 2009. Amazon shares pulled back 0.4% after an analyst at Morgan Stanley lowered its price target on the e-commerce giant to $2,200 from $2,300. The analyst cited Amazon's one-day shipping for the target, trim because of higher expenses, but noted this will likely only deepen their moats longer term. And American Express rose 1.3% after the company authorized a buyback program of up to 120 million shares. The company also hiked its dividend by 10% to 43 cents. And the commodities markets, oil was up 0.7%, finishing at $58.49 a barrel. Gold was up 1.1% at $1,531.30 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.8% on the heels of the weak economic data. And in Asia, most markets were down as well, with the Shanghai Composite down 1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 10 cents at $43.78, Kroger up 5 cents at $25.73, UPS down $1.63 at $119.07, Valvoline down 3 cents at $22, and Marathon Petroleum was up 67 cents to finish at $55.77. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moreheadrecycling.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Community Recycling Center, located near the Morehead City Park, offers paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Cost is $15 per hour. Secure and confidential drop-off or pick-up by appointment at 784-1250.
The Morehead chapter of the National Illness on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 24th at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends of people with mental illness are welcome to attend.
Celebrate Banned Books Week at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, September 25th. Read selected passages from books that have been banned, discover new books, and take one home as a souvenir. A donation of $10 is suggested.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a Woodsongs Coffee House concert at 7 p.m. on Thursday, September 26, featuring bluegrass, folk, and old-time music with Don Rogers. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students.
The 21st Annual Cave Run Storytelling Festival is September 27th and 28th at the Twin Knobs Recreation Area of Cave Run Lake. Nationally known storytellers, nearby parking, concession, and seating under large tent. Stories begin at 9:45 a.m. on Friday and Saturday evenings at 7 and ghost stories Saturday night. Tickets and information at caverunstoryfest.org. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Shaw Marie Mosley, Zoe Hall, Cody Robinson, Jonathan Burton, Chanasty Davis, Keneally Roberts, and Michael Green. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Will Clark, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State Star Theater Director Chanel Varani. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tandy Wallingford and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.